Dale. We began this, I'm here today to talk to you about our project in turfgrass ecology. And we were measuring carbon exchange and water use efficiencies of different C3 and C4 turfgrass cultivars. As some of you may know of the recent research done at UC Irvine, where they measured carbon sequestration of turfgrasses, overall saying that, you know, these grasses are relatively bad in terms of, you know, sequestering carbon. I just want to say that we are UC Riverside, and we do value the benefits and role of turf in urban landscapes. This project was kind of a first step in terms of research in turfgrass ecology. Our objectives for this project was to determine water use efficiencies and carbon fixation potentials among different C3 and C4 turfgrass cultivars under non-limiting conditions in terms of fertility as well as water irrigation. We also want to determine seasonality of carbon exchange or measure carbon exchange over time throughout the year. This project lasted for a year. Here's a picture of our experimental plot at the UCR turfgrass facility. We currently have 20 different species and cultivars, and for this project we're measuring 16 of them. Here's some general information regarding the maintenance of our plot area. Our plots were established in July and August of 2008 in a randomized complete block design with 3 replications for each species and cultivar. All turf grasses were irrigated to warm season regimes at 60% evapotranspiration per distribution uniformity, and supplemental irrigation was applied by hand watering to cool season grasses at 80% ET. Overall, these grasses were not under stress. As I mentioned, we measured 16 of these species and cultivars, a total of 5 cool season blends and mixtures of cultivars and species, and 11 warm season cultivars. All of these cultivars were planted in sod, except for UC Verde buffalo grass, which was plugged. These names here, such as West Coaster, Medallion, Elite Plus, were brand names produced by sod producers. And these varieties here, such as Seashore Paspalum and Zoysia grass, were the cultivar names. In terms of our data collection, this project began in March 2009, and we took measurements every couple weeks through March 2010. We measured 4 separate things for each cultivar. The first is net ecosystem exchange, or gas exchange during photosynthesis and respiration. We also measured respiration alone for each plot, and we also measured water flux using our Lycor 7500 gas exchange analyzer, which I'll be showing you pictures of that a little later on. For each plot, we also measured canopy temperature using infrared, soil temperature, as well as soil moisture water content. We also collected leaf samples for all of our cultivars throughout the year. And we analyzed these for leaf area using a Lycor leaf area meter. And we also analyzed carbon and nitrogen content. Before I move on, I'd like to talk about some general background information regarding our measurements and what we looked at with these cultivars. As I mentioned, net ecosystem exchange is photosynthesis and respiration, or gas exchange during these processes. With these measurements of photosynthesis and respiration, we can determine gross ecosystem productivity, or GEP, which basically means the amount of carbon uptake by the plant per meter squared per second during photosynthesis. We also measured evapotranspiration, or the change in water flux, and with these values of GEP and ET, we can determine water use efficiency, which means that the amount of carbon taken up by the plant per amount of water lost through evapotranspiration. So a plant that is more water use efficient takes up more carbon and transpires less water. Now I'd like to go over our materials and methods. Here's a picture showing our Lycor 7500 here, attached to a tripod. We also attached a small fan here to create circulation within the chamber. This is a picture of our cubic meter tent. which gets placed over our Licor analyzer. So for each plot, each one of these plots here, we take two measurements each for all of them. The first is net ecosystem exchange, as I mentioned, where we place the tent over the Licor and take a reading for approximately 1 minute. All the data is logged on a computer. After this measurement is taken, after approximately 1 minute, we aerate the tent to reduce any condensation or humidity that builds up within the chamber. Our second measurement is respiration, in which we place this small or this lightweight cloth over the entire perimeter of the tent. So we're just measuring respiration for approximately 1 minute. Here's some graphs showing our what is going on underneath the canopy. What is the Licor actually measuring over time? Over here we have an EE. We see a negative slope here over time because the plant is taking up carbon from the air within the tent. To the right of respiration over time, which gives us a positive slope. Therefore, the plant is respiring carbon. And we also have evaporation, which gives us a positive value over time because the plant is respiring water as a byproduct of photosynthesis. These two graphs represent a C4 and C3 graphs that we measured over the entire year. So from March 2009 to March 2010, the top line here is GEP, or photosynthesis and respiration, and the bottom line here is respiration. Overall, what we can see from this graph on the top is that the C4 grasses take up the most carbon during the summer months because of their plant physiology, and they are more adapted to warmer temperatures. Below, we can see that Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass shows a relatively constant carbon flux throughout the year. Okay, there's a lot of columns here, but this graph shows our carbon fixation potentials that we determined for all the cultivars throughout the entire year. These abbreviations here below the graph are the names of all the cultivars that we measured, and they are translated down here for your reference. Basically, our carbon fixation potential is our ratio between our carbon uptake by the plant and what is being released during respiration. As you can see here, the Tif Green 328 Bermuda grass showed the highest carbon fixation potential numerically compared to the rest of the cultivars. And as well, our bluegrass-ryegrass blend showed the highest carbon fixation potential numerically out of the C3 cultivars. However, we did not see much significance between these. Here shows our water use efficiencies for all of our cultivars. Again, this is the amount of carbon uptake per amount of water lost. What we could see from this graph is that all the warm season grasses were significantly higher in terms of water use efficiency over the cool season grasses down here, except for our bluegrass-ryegrass blend, which was insignificant compared to 7 out of the 11 warm season grasses. We also collected leaf samples, as I mentioned, and we measured leaf areas at two different dates, in March 2009 and March 2010. We actually had a third date, I'm sorry, but we only presented data that was significant. As you can see from these graphs, leaf area for Palmetto St. Augustine and our common St. Augustine showed the highest leaf areas numerically, as well for the second date in March 2010. And as you can see here, the significance of Palmetto St. Augustine and Common St. Augustine were significantly higher than the remaining cultivars. Some of our results from this experiment, as I mentioned, the warm season grasses were significantly higher in water use efficiency than cool season grasses, and we pretty much expect this because of the plant physiology of warm season grasses, except for Bayside Blend. Tif Green 328 Bermuda grass and Bayside Blend of Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass demonstrated the greatest carbon fixation potential numerically overall. We did do some comparisons between our leaf areas and carbon fixation potentials and water use efficiencies. However, we did not see a significant relationship there. We feel that these values for carbon fixation potential and water use efficiency may be due to other factors such as plant physiology, stomata, the number of stomata, or even soil nutrients. We did get a lot of questions last year when we presented this the preliminary data after the first 6 months regarding our use of mixtures, different cultivars and species. I just wanted to say that the grasses that we chose was because we wanted to measure, those are the most common grasses found in Southern California. But for future experiments, we definitely added some new cultivars at our facility. We now have a perennial ryegrass and creeping bentgrass provided by West Coast Turf that was planted in sod this past summer. We also have a Whittakakuyu grass from Emerald Sod that was also planted this summer. And we now have a new ground cover from Japan called Carapia that we will also be measuring in future experiments. So this project kind of served as a baseline for future experiments. We definitely want to go more in depth with further research in turf grass ecology. So since this one was based on, you know, the grasses were at optimal conditions and they weren't under stress, we would like to evaluate the carbon exchange and water use efficiencies of these cultivars under deficit irrigation and to see how they perform. We'd also like to conduct a survey of turf grasses along a climate gradient. So we will be traveling to different golf courses, parks, and home lawns, everywhere from the coastal regions of Southern California to the inland regions. And we would also plan to evaluate soil carbon pools, soil carbon turnover rate, and root biomass turnover rate within these different climatic regions. And ultimately, furthermore, we'd like to measure annual emissions of other greenhouse gases, such as nitrous oxide. Ultimately, with our research in turf grass ecology, we want to find cultivars that are more efficient in taking up more carbon while reducing water use and the strain on our water resources. I just want to say thank you for listening, and I'm willing to take any questions you may have.
Probably have time for a quick question.
Yeah, I don't have much time. Yes.
Can you explain how you determine the leaf area? Did you remove the leaves of the stem, or did you just take the stem and
We pretty much just take the stem in the field and we collect them and then we pretty much run them through our leaf area meter and it measures it that way. But that's what gives us our values. And we average the leaf areas throughout the replications.
That's what. I
would say about this much. And then I don't know. We definitely ran about 15 to 30, depending on the leaf size, we ran, you know, multiple times to get a better recording for leaf area, but it kind of depends. We used for the warm season grasses, we had to run more leaves because they were so small. So it just kind of depends on the cultivar, but we accounted for those in our calculations. Yes.
What time did you do your measurements?
We usually started around 10 a.m. and we measured for approximately 4 hours till about 2, and it's related to the same amount of time every time we went out.
All right. Well, let's thank Aaliyah.